Well, good afternoon, everyone. Please turn to Zechariah, and we'll be looking at the chapters 12 and 14 of this wonderful little book. The subject we're considering at this time is Antichrist's attack upon Jerusalem. That surely will be a very clear indicator that the time of the Lord's return is drawing very near. It also will be an event that will be well publicized. Everybody will hear about it. There's many items in the news, and you will hear people discussing the news, and they'll say, "Did you hear about?" And the person they're talking to will say, "No, I didn't hear about that." But I don't think that this is an event there will be those who haven't heard about it. I think everybody will know about it. Crisis will be building in Israel, and world leaders will be in discussions and all the rest of it. So the news will be filled with events in Jerusalem. And when this attack upon Jerusalem begins, everybody will know about it. Everybody will hear about it. And the child of God, when they hear about it, well, their emotions will be mixed. First of all, they'll think about the sufferings that the poor Jewish people will begin to go through, far greater than any of the sufferings that they have ever been through before. Great, great, great sufferings. Great sufferings. And as well as that, they will not be able to overlook the fact that the beginning of this attack upon Jerusalem and the sufferings of the Jewish people will soon be followed by the return of Christ. And they will know that the length of time that this period of suffering, intense suffering, the Lord Jesus said it will be a time of trouble for the Jewish people, the like of which there has never been before. And the length of this time of suffering will be shortened by the Lord. Otherwise, the devil and his agents, the Antichrist and those that are on his side, would wipe out the Jewish people completely. So God will not allow that. He'll shorten the time of persecution to 42 months, or 1260 days, or 3.5 years. So when we hear about the beginnings of this attack, we know that in 42 months, 3.5 years, 1260 days, the Lord will return. The Lord will return. Just you think of how exciting, how wonderful will be the awareness of that event upon the Christian. Just think of it. Let your mind just soak it in and think of what the reaction of God's people will be when they become aware of this fact. The Lord Jesus will be here in 3.5 years. I find it, just imagining it, I find it just amazing. Amazing. Now, up to now we have considered how that this attack upon Jerusalem has been foreshadowed for us in the record given us in Luke chapter 21 of the events that did surround the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. That was about 40 years after the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was telling his disciples how it would happen. And the circumstances that surrounded the destruction of the temple and the city in AD 70 were like a rehearsal, like a preview. We use the word foreshadowing of what would happen at the very end of the age. So we're able, as Christians, because we have our Bible, we are able to see what is going to happen in the future in very great detail. In very great detail. What a wonderful thing it is to have the Bible. The rest of the world out there that doesn't believe the Bible, doesn't read the Bible, or maybe doesn't even have a Bible, they're in darkness. They don't know what's going to happen to this world. That's why the scientists, you know, are all very alarmed about the melting of the ice caps and the changing of the weather patterns. They're all alarmed about it. They say, if this goes on, we're going to be up to our eyebrows in water. Everybody is. And there'll be millions and millions who will drown, and food production will be lost to a very large degree. What are we going to do? And that's a big concern among those who don't believe the Bible. It doesn't worry me too much. It doesn't worry me, in fact, at all. Because I know the world is not going to end in that fashion. I know how the world is going to end. The Bible tells me how it is going to end. And you and I can consult it and see the details of how the world is going to end. And when we see Jerusalem attacked in the fashion that we have been looking at, we know that very shortly the Lord Jesus will come. And this age, this chapter of humanity's history will come to an end. And a new chapter will begin. And there's a new chapter in which the Lord Jesus will rule and reign on this earth. Rule and reign on this earth. So we have considered how that this attack on Jerusalem has been foreshadowed in Luke chapter 21. Now, just briefly, we're going to look today at how that in the two chapters in Zechariah that I've mentioned, chapter 12 and chapter 14, it is featured. Here are the clearest details given to us of what this attack upon Jerusalem will be like. Now, as I say, there are two accounts, two references to the attack upon Jerusalem in Zechariah, chapter 12 and chapter 14. You know, of course, that in the Bible, not always do we find things given to us in chronological order. And by that I mean that events are set down as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Sometimes the Lord goes right to the last and shows it first. Shows it first. You have that example in Revelation. In Revelation chapter 6, there is a picture given us and details given us of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, you're only into the book and into the section of the book that deals with prophecy, and you're given right away details of the return of Christ. And then, following that, you have details about things that will happen before the return of Christ. So that these matters are not set down in what we call chronological order. But rather God goes to the very end, shows it, and then begins to show the things that will come before the end. Do you know why he shows us that? Do you know why he shows that? Well, I'll tell you. It's a bit like a doctor. I hope you never have to go into hospital for surgery. But you know, if you did, you will find the doctor will come round to you and say, well, tomorrow you're going down to the theatre and I'm going to operate upon you. And I'm going to remove this bit of you because it's creating problems. But let me tell you that when I remove this, you will be up and about in about a week and you'll be feeling far better. And you'll be running and jumping and feeling very strong and fit and healthy after I do the operation. And you will be sedated, and I'll be operating on you for 2, 3, 4 hours, and I'll have to open up here, and maybe I'll have to cut this, and he then goes into all the details of what he has to do. But before he did that, he told you the good results that would come from the operation. Before he told you all the scary bits, and the cutting he would have to do, and maybe the pain and the suffering that that would result in, he told you before that, that out of this operation you were going to get good health. And you were going to be fit and strong and healthy once again. That's what he did first of all. And God does the same. Before he reveals to us the troubles that are coming, the tribulations that are coming upon the world, he tells us how it's all going to end. And it's all going to end in victory and glory and joy for the people of God. But before that happens, there's trouble. And consequently, you find often in Scripture that events are given to us in that fashion. Not as they will come to pass, but God sometimes jumps to the end, shows us how it will all work out before he begins to tell us the things that will happen before that. And here in Zechariah, I believe you have something like that. Something like that. Let me just show you Zechariah chapter 12. Let me read to you from the opening verses of Zechariah chapter 12. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundations of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him. That's a bit like the surgeon coming to the patient and saying, I'm Mr. So-and-so, and I have been a surgeon now for 20 years, and I have operated in this hospital and that hospital and the other hospital, and I have a lot of experience. God's telling us who he is here. As he goes on to tell us about what's going to happen, he tells us who he is first. That gives us confidence. That gives to us a quietness of mind and heart when we see who is in control. Verse 2, behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. God's saying, I'm in control of this all. Even though great multitudes are gathered against Jerusalem, I'm in control. I'm in control. In that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment, and his rider with madness, and I will open mine eyes upon the house of Judah, and will smite every horse of the people with blindness. And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength in the Lord of hosts their God. In that day I will make the governors of Judah like a hearth of fire among the wood. As fire consumes wood that you throw on to it, well, God says that's how it will be. The leaders and the rulers of Jerusalem, the leaders of the Jews, they'll be like a fire. They'll burn up their enemies, just like wood is burned up upon fire. And like a torch of fire in a sheaf. Oh, how quickly a dry sheaf of corn would burst into flame if somebody put a torch, a burning torch, into it. And they shall devour all the people round about on the right hand, on the left. And Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. That's what chapter 12 says. And chapter 12 is, as I've said, like the surgeon coming and saying, yes, there's a big operation, but let me tell you how it's all going to work out. And God here tells how it's all going to work out. Jerusalem's going to be delivered. The enemy is going to be burned up. And Jerusalem's going to be inhabited again. Now that's chapter 12, but then when you come to chapter 14, I think the clock goes back a little bit. Chapter 12 deals with how it's all going to work out. Chapter 14 goes back to the beginning of the troubles and tells us a little of what's going to happen during the siege of Jerusalem. Look at chapter 14 now. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh. You know, even as I read this, boys and girls, and I've read it many, 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 many times, but as I read it in preparation for coming to you and talking, I thought of that phrase, behold, the day of the Lord cometh. It doesn't say, behold, the day of the Lord has come. I think the phrase, of course, I'm not an expert in the Hebrew language, but I think the phrase is surely suggesting to us, behold, the day of the Lord is approaching, destroying near. What's the evidence of it? Well, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. You're going to be spoiled, and people will pick over you, as it were, and pick what they want out of you. That's what armies do that conquer other nations. They just take whatever they want. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem. Here's the evidence that the day of the Lord is approaching. Against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall be cut off from the city. Here are the details of what's going to happen in the siege. Chapter 12, how it's all going to work out. Victory. Jerusalem inhabited again. Chapter 14, the dark details of that period of attack. I'm inclined to think, boys and girls, that chapter 12 concentrates on the end of the siege. How it's going to end. God coming, blessing the Jews, making them like a fire, burning a sheaf of corn, making them victorious. The way he did in the day of Goliath, when David slew Goliath, and suddenly the spirit of the army of Israel was transformed. They had been hiding and fearful and trembling, and oh, look at that big monster of a man. If he gets amongst us, he'll kill us all. That's the way they really were. They were scared of him. But when David killed him, suddenly those men were filled with courage, and they up and charged at the Philistines and chased them for their lives. And God's going to transform the Jews when he comes. And they're going to become mighty. and overthrow their enemies. But that's at the end, at the conclusion of this siege, this 42 months of tribulation. But here in chapter 14, I think we're at the beginning of the tribulation, the beginning of the siege, and we're told the events that will happen. The city is plundered, and we read that half of the city shall go forth into captivity. The Lord doesn't come at that moment. The Jews led away into captivity. That would take some time. That would take some time. The army of Antichrist dominating the city, beginning this plunder, beginning to say, right, we'll take this bunch away, hundreds, thousands away into captivity. That would take time. So the Lord doesn't come at that moment. Because you see, there has to be the 42 months of trouble. The 42 months of Jacob's trouble. The 42 months of the great tribulation. And then at the end of that time of plundering the city and abusing the people, the Lord comes. And we read in the verse 3, then, that is when all this trouble has come to a fullness, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations when he fought in the day of battle. So, as a sort of a simple rule, when you look at Zechariah chapter 12, you're looking at the end of the tribulation and the intervention of the Lord Jesus to save his people. When you're looking at Zechariah 14 verses 1 and 2, you're looking at the events that will happen in Jerusalem during the tribulation, when the people will be oppressed. Now, during that period of oppression, those 42 months, the two witnesses will be preaching and carrying on their ministry. We've already looked at the two witnesses. But it's during that period between Zechariah chapter 14 and the verse 1 and the verse 3, that period of tribulation for the city and for the people of Israel. That's when the two witnesses will be carrying on their ministry and witnessing for God. I like that because I've already said this when we were looking at the two witnesses, but it's even when the devil is at his highest point and exercising his greatest power, the Lord raises up two men who defy Antichrist. And against them, Antichrist has no power until they've finished the work God sent them to do. And as we know, in Revelation 11, Antichrist then kills them. But 3.5 days later, the Lord raises them from the dead and takes them up to heaven. And soon then he comes. Within days he comes. So, in Zechariah 12 and Zechariah 14, we have the besieging of Jerusalem by Antichrist and his forces featured, and details of it given to us. Do read it in the light of what I've said, for I believe that's what the Bible teaches us regarding these matters. Well, the next time we come back here, we're going to consider what will happen when the Lord Jesus comes back again to deliver his people. How will it all work out? Oh, blessed day indeed. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, we ask thee to write thy word upon our hearts. I pray, Lord, that it will be impressed upon the minds, the souls of the boys and the girls. May they live with an awareness of what it is God has said. He will do. He will accomplish in Jerusalem. Bless each one here today. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.